Good rainy afternoon, TGP. It's Monday, December the 6th, 2021. This is In the Know, episode 23, the next to last episode of this year. On the 20th, we will be going out of town to see my parents in South Carolina, Lord willing. And so I won't obviously have a I won't have a podcast or newsletter that week or the following week. So this is the next to last one. So let's jump into a few announcements. First of all, this Wednesday, like 2 days from now, December the 8th at 6 p.m., the ladies, our wonderful TGP ladies, are going to have an all-women life group gathering, 6 p.m. at KB Thomas's house. That is 117 Hudson Street in Pineville, Louisiana, at KB's house. Please make plans to be there for that. It's going to be a great time of just getting together and enjoying each other's company. And we'll talk more about why we need things like this in a little bit. The following week, 1 week from Wednesday, December the 15th, will be the All Men Life Group meeting. Details are still to be determined, but you can look out for those announcements as we figure some of those details out. December the 19th, so 2 weeks from yesterday, we will have a family meeting right after service to vote on the 2022 budget and to vote on one new member. So we need people to be there for that. January 7th, Women's Night of Worship. February 4th and 5th, Abide Women's Conference at New Orleans Baptist Seminary. And finally, we have copies of Gentle and Lowly and Rediscover Church available. So if you're interested in having a copy of one of those or giving one of those away, I would love to get those in your hands. Just let me know. So let's jump into a little bit of sermon recap. Sanctification is a group project. Now, I could leave it at that, but you have to know by now, I'm not going to leave it at that. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in solitude. There are many times when solitude is helpful and healthy, but God intends for His people to be vitally connected to a local church. In that place, we experience the grace of hearing the word preached, sung, and symbolized in the ordinances, along with the knowing and the being known and the encouragement from the body that comes from the body that's part of being part of the local body. And it helps us grow into the image of Christ. Now, I'm not saying there's no way we can ever grow outside of a church. God is gracious, and of course, He's able to do that. It's just that the New Testament assumes we will embed ourselves within a particular people and walk with them toward eternity. Like, that's just the baked-in assumption, to the extent that the New Testament really knows nothing of a Lone Ranger believer. Like, the only one that I can think of off the top of my head was John on the island of Patmos. And that is maybe an exception that proves the rule. And in so doing, when we embed ourselves in a particular people, we will rejoice with them, weep with them, rebuke them and be rebuked by them, encourage them and be encouraged by them, challenge them and be challenged by them, and we'll celebrate every victory of which they make us aware. It will be a messy and yet profoundly joyful process. Growth in holiness is a group project. I can't see my own sin with the same objectivity as someone who isn't me. I can rationalize it in ways that others won't. I can't see my own shortcomings as well as others. And if someone is going to point those out to me, I'd prefer it to be someone that I know has my very best interests at heart. Now, also, on the other hand, I might tend to over-exaggerate my flaws or shortcomings, and I need the body to help me see and to tell me it isn't so. Like, I think you're seeing it wrong. Like, you're not quite as bad as you think you are in this area. You're not quite as far gone as maybe you think that you are. Because when we get alone, we have these like echo chambers of our minds, and we need thoughts from outside of us both to help you know, hem us in from walking in sin and to encourage us when we are walking in righteousness. We need the body. If left alone, we're going to get atrophied in certain spiritual muscles, and we're going to have a wonky, like, Christian life. We need each other to grow into fully formed Christians, into deep disciples of Jesus. Community is vital. This includes being part of a life group, but it also includes building strong, deep relationships, being vulnerable, and being consistent to show up and be with these people outside those times. One Christian author says, quality time arises from quantity time. So let's get to know each other, pray for one another, speak encouraging words to each other, and be ready with a Bible verse when our brothers and sisters need it, because sanctification is a group project. So I want to mention quickly just an additional point about the scripture memory, and I want to say, like, there are no silver bullets. I've had a couple of people reach out and take me up on my offer to track down and help find some fighter verses. So thank you. I love this. I love doing this. I don't want to give you the wrong idea that scripture memory is some silver bullet in your fight against sin. It's like the one thing that you aren't doing, but if you did do, you'd never struggle with this sin again, right? It's not that. It's just that when I think of the renewal of our minds, like that's mentioned in Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23, sometimes my brain goes to, okay, that means read my Bible, check, and then I just move on. But I think if our minds will truly be renewed or made new again, it's going to take more than just a reading of the word. It's going to take an internalization of the word, a taking it into ourselves. We need to let it become part of us. Like, when people cut me, I want to bleed scripture. And scripture memory is one very effective yet often neglected tool in our spiritual tool belt. So again, this is not just for Awanas or for children. Like, this is for our spiritual health, memorizing the Bible so that it becomes part of our thinking, part of our processing of events and circumstances, and part of our decision-making every day. And the Lord brings things to mind, and we chew on it all day long, and we think about it, we meditate on it, and we, like, it just gets into us so deeply that it can't help but come out of us in various ways, some of which are acts of righteousness. So let's commit large, specific chunks of scripture to our memory, and let's see how God might use it in the fight against sin. The last thing I want to mention is that every analogy breaks down. Yesterday, I used the analogy of lightning, and it's fitting, huh? Because it's you've seen probably quite a lot of it today. I used the analogy of lightning to describe something that is both beautiful and life-threatening, depending on your relationship to it. And that's true. But that analogy doesn't get you the whole way in your understanding of God's righteousness. It might be helpful in beginning to describe how the very same reality viewed from an exposed location or a shelter could be either a delight or a terror. But this analogy breaks down like every other one. So let me explain what I mean. What we said yesterday is that God's righteousness is at least part of his character that brought about our salvation, such that we understand we aren't saved from his righteousness so much as we are saved by it and into it. Lightning is something you can escape from to a shelter and view from a distance. With lightning, you must be saved from it to view it with delight. Now, when speaking of God and his righteousness, it's not quite the same. It's as though the lightning came down, intentionally struck somebody else instead of us, and then picked us up and brought us up into the clouds. And it's from this vantage point that we view the beauty and the wonder of that reality. It's not just being sheltered from it, although we are sheltered from its dangerous effects, but it's being saved by it and coming nearer to it without being harmed. Imagine the beauty and the gratitude and enjoyment you'd feel to know that not only will you not be struck down by it, but that you get to view from an even closer vantage point that which has saved you. The very reality that was so terrible to you has reached down and rescued you. And so it is with God's righteousness. We have seen God exercise his righteousness not to judge us, but to save us. How precious then ought God's righteousness be to us? The very righteousness of God that should have meant death for us has now become a source of life. One more reason for our joy in it. As with all analogies that seek to describe God or his attributes, reality proves far more profound, far more beautiful, far more three-dimensional than the analogy itself. Revel in and enjoy God's righteousness. Share his righteousness. Help others share his righteousness and have joy through this process as you walk out this life together. Have a great week. I love you, people.